right now from the North State Journal down there in Carolina, Hurricanes reporter Corey Lavalette. And Corey, I'm guessing that in your parts of the world, there's no need to put on any kind of Vaseline and or baby oil to get a nice tan.
I am all greased up and ready for you guys.
Oh, this is going to be a good chat. Corey, when the news came about Sebastian Aho and the offer sheet from Montreal, I personally thought the offer was low in line to what I expectations for other guys were and that group of RFAs would get. But now it looked like if you're the Hurricanes, what do you think, it's high or low? You are sitting in a great spot because you have your guy signed. He's going to be there day one, and you know what your money's going to be for the next little while. Is that what the team, you think the Teal's feeling, and how do you feel about this signing when you compare it to other RFAs like Laine, who's, we haven't even started negotiating?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the offer sheet thing isn't an ideal situation just because of the optics of it. But at the same time, exactly what you're saying. I mean, everyone else, I mean, there's you know, almost 10 players around the league who don't have deals right now. And some of them aren't even negotiating. You know, they're just sitting back waiting for September and using as much leverage as they can. And, I don't think the term was ideal for the Hurricanes because it takes Sebastian right up to his unrestricted free agency. But at the same time, hey, you're in, I don't think anyone thought it 10 months ago, but you're in your window to succeed now. And now you got 5 years, regardless of what happens. You know, the Hurricanes have a lot of young talent, more guys coming, young guys who are going to get better. You don't have to worry about this anymore. And that's, again, not ideal, but Don Waddell kind of said it. He's like, hey, now I don't, my summer's set now. I don't have to spend my summer worrying about how I'm going to get this guy under contract. And, they would have loved 8 years, but I think those days are gone for guys like this. You know, there might be mid-range guys who get those long deals just to have some security. But, Sebastian knows he's going to be in the league for the next 10, 15 years. And, hey, I might as well get paid more than once.
When you look at some of the youth that's in there, where do you rank Andrei Svechnikov as far as on that list of guys that could really pop? 37 points last year and 20 goals. Is he? Did you see moments where he could be a lot more than that as he ages?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think he's going to be spectacular. I mean, the thing about him is he's perfect for Rod Brind'Amour because all that Andre wants to do is work to get better. And, God, there was never a player who wanted to work to get better than Rod, I don't think. Andre had 20 goals last year, and they were all at even strength. He's going to get power play goals. He's going to get more minutes. He's going to mature. I mean, he kind of came into the league, and he already has an NHL body, but that doesn't mean that you're, the most coordinated person. You know how to use that size, as proven in that fight with Alex Ovechkin, right? that's a weight class up still, but, I mean, you have to figure down the road. Andre might be that big, and when he gets that big, he's already, taken defensemen and leaned on him and drove to the far post on him as an 18-year-old. What's this guy going to be like as a 22-year-old, as a 24-year-old? He's going to be an animal, and he's got the right work ethic. He's got a great demeanor. He's a really good kid, and he's only going to get better. I mean, he's going to be dynamite.
You're going to have a lot of young studs up front. Corey Lavalette joins us, Hurricanes reporter from North State Journal. Corey, convince me and my listeners why James Reiner and Peter Mrazek are the answer between the pipes for the Carolina Hurricanes.
I don't know that they are. I mean, I think, to be totally convincing. Honest, again, Peter Mrazek's your number one. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be an open competition for the backup job, and I know Reimer's the one making the money, but they love Alex Nedeljkovic. I mean, he obviously – led the Checkers to the Calder Cup last year and was AHL Goaltender of the Year. My one concern is he reminds me a little bit of Mrazek in that he's a smaller guy. He's kind of scrambly and a little by the seat of your pants. And where they had success last year was when Peter had some struggles, you turn around and you go to a guy who's as steady as they can be in Curtis McElhinney. And right now, I think Reimer's the guy who most matches that, met James yet, here in Raleigh, but everything you hear about is, first and foremost, he's a great teammate, and that's what Curtis McElhinney was. Curtis was never, he competed and he wanted to get starts and everything, but there was, those guys had a great relationship, and I think he and Reimer would too. But at the same time, I think, Nedeljkovic would do fine too, because here's a rookie. He's not going to expect to come in and be the number one guy. He's going to want it, but you know, so they got options. You know, they really do. I mean, Anton Forsberg as well, who that whole kind of arbitration mess kind of threw a little wrench in the plans there with him getting a one-way deal. But he's still a guy who's been an NHL goalie, and you know, they just named Jason Mazzotti their goalie coach. He played with Rod Brind'Amour at Michigan State. We'll see if he can work the same kind of magic that Mike Bales did last year.
It seems like the basically Hurricanes paid $6 million in the buyout to get Patrick Marleau in that first rounder from the Maple Leafs. That Maple Leafs first rounder, is that something they were coveting, another first round pick, or is it something they coveted but to use to maybe add a piece if they think they're trending in the right direction?
I think they're open to anything with that.
Okay.
I think it's got to, you know, at least you look at the Hurricanes and their payroll, and you look at that move, and it has to at least kind of dispel some of these, you know, Tom Dundon's cheap kind of things that are out there, right? I mean, here's a guy who just threw, you know, $6 million to get a first round pick, essentially. I mean, that was what that was. It was buying a pick from the Leafs. You know, he spent a lot of money. They're right up against the cap. If they bring Justin Williams back, they got a little bit of maneuvering to do. Yeah, I think that they're open to anything on that. Who knows where that pick ends up? I mean, you have to think it's later in the first round. But it gives them options. I mean, hey, I mean, never hurts to have another first round pick in the chamber for sure.
I really like the move to bring in Eric Halla. How do you see him being deployed with this team? And you know, what use or why do they need a guy like that so quickly out of Vegas?
You know, the most intriguing thing to me is that you've got the Hurricanes really kind of became a trending sensation last season, and now you have a guy who's got a Twitter account dedicated to his backside. So I don't know how. yeah, I mean, it just gives more depth down the middle. I mean, Jordan Staal, I think, you know, he played hockey, and Jordan Staal, people who watch the game closely know how good he is and how what a handful he is and how much other teams dread playing against him. I mean, he doesn't have the softest hands in the world on the offensive side and all that, but he's a handful. But this does ease his burden a little bit, and it also eases Sebastian's burden. You know, Rod wasn't really sure if Sebastian could be a center in this league because of his size. Eric Hall is not the biggest guy by any means, but at the same time, when you can roll out three centers that are, you know, Aho, Staal, Halla, and then, you know, Lucas Walmark, who's, you know, kind of an unsung guy behind them, he goes from being your third center to your fourth center, and then you've got Marty Natchez is going to be a center one day, I think. He's going to play the wing this year, I think, and maybe get, you know, play some center, but all of a sudden you've just become a lot deeper, and I think as long as he's back from you know, the injury and everything, and everything's good, and I've seen some of the clips of him playing, you know, this summer in the Beauty League and all that, and he looks like he's fine. Great addition, right? I mean, and another Finnish guy. They seem to have quite a bit of luck with Finnish guys here in Raleigh.
Yeah, they're just the forward depth looks really strong. Like, you know, if you mentioned the centers, then you got Tuukka Vainen and Svechnikov, who talked about Dzingel, who's come in on a seems like a pretty reasonable deal. Then Nino Niederreiter, those are kind of your, I guess, top four. Then you got Hall in there as well. Where does he fit in? There's some depth there. And I think that is something that will really help because the defense has been decent. If they can get some goaltending, those forwards should be able to provide some punch up front with some goals.
Yeah, and there's more coming too. Like I said, Martin Natchez has come in, and he had a great first year in North America. You know, another guy who was part of that Calder Cup winning team. Yanni Kuokkanen, I think, is forgotten a little bit, but he's a really good kind of utility guy that can play anywhere up front. Morgan Geeky had a great first year in the AHL. You know, you go down the line, there's wave after wave of guys, and they, you know, they just seem to have done the right thing drafting and building, and some of that credit goes to Ron Francis, and a lot of it goes to the scouting staff. You know, Tony McDonald, who just retired after this season, has had some pretty good things that he can stick on his jacket,
sure.
Pins he can stick on there with Jacob Slavin and Pesci and these guys they've gotten in the late rounds, and then they haven't really missed on the high round picks. You know, Jake Bean looks like he's going to be a player, so you know, we'll see where all that goes. But there's so much depth up front, and then you've got great character guys. Jordan Martinuk is just fantastic, you know, in the room and everything, and just a really good mix of guys.
One last one for you. You touched on it a bit, but Justin Williams, do you believe he comes back for, I think it's his 48th season?
Yeah. I saw somebody post, I think it was Cap Friendly, posted a list on Twitter the other day of the oldest forwards in the league. And I think the oldest is 36. So he'll be the oldest guy if he comes back now that Matt Cullen has retired. You know, I feel like he will. I think the team feels like he will. They're unveiling a new white sweater next week. Okay. And everybody's kind of like, oh, my God, is Justin Williams going to be wearing it? Like, that seems like, you know, everyone's kind of caught the fever of how their social media team works and how they've done a good job with that kind of stuff. And I don't know if that's the case or not, but that would be pretty neat. And this team, you know, he's the perfect conduit for Rod Brind'Amour's message. I mean, those guys know each other really well. Obviously, we're line mates together back in, you know, 2006 and are close friends. And, Rod's still a young coach, obviously great first year last year and, you know, is perfect for this young team. But he's even more perfect when he's got his guy he played with kind of sending the message down the ladder.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing, to have that guy sitting there, like, just, you know, understand what the coach is saying and then delivering it in a different word that's not coming from the coach. I mean, what a quandary for Brind'Amour, who is a young coach. But, you know, having that type of thing is so valuable. You get your top players on the side, the older players, the other guys all fall in line, and then you see what happens last year.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know that if there's anybody in the league. There's a handful of guys that have as much respect around the league as Justin Williams. You know, there's guys like Chara and things like that, where if you end up in that locker room, you immediately know you're around somebody special. And Rod was that kind of guy too. So Rod, you know, gets respect right out of the gate for the kind of player he was and his reputation. But like you said, it means even more when the guy who's lining up next year has the same kind of reputation and knows where the coach is coming from and, you know, can tell the coach, hey, maybe you're a little out of line on this one, or maybe this message wasn't the best ever. You know, they have that kind of relationship where they'll go to each other and say, hey, you know, I understand what you're doing here, but you're not doing this the right way. And that's been, you know, that was so vital last year. And, you know, with the postseason run and the push, what was really a postseason run that lasted months, because they really had to push to get into the playoffs anyway. So yeah, he's a perfect fit here. If he does retire, I don't think that's pulling a block out of the bottom of the tower and everything tumbles. I think there are enough good young leaders here and still some veteran players. Like, you know, I mentioned Jordan Martinook. There's a lot of, you know, good guys in that room that will keep things pointing in the right direction. But obviously, if you can have Justin Williams back, even if it's in a lesser role on the ice, his value in the room and, you know, at practices and everything is invaluable.
Absolutely awesome. Corey, I really appreciate this breakdown, and I'll let you get back to suntanning down there in Carolina.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a big rainstorm right now, but I'm going to go wipe all this Vaseline off me and call it a weekend.
You'll have a nice lubricated skin, buddy. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.